This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Brother James Bradford and is entitled, Perfect Peace.
The title of today's sermon is Perfect Peace. In the bulletin it says, Eyes Wide Open. That's exactly what I expect, but the words we'll hear has to do with peace. I'd like to start with a question. Who would like to have peace? Raise your hand. Okay, I'm going to assume if there's anyone who's not raising their hand, you already feel you have peace. Well, you know, we live in a busy world where there's uncertainty and fear often abounding. People seem anxious all the time. We're constantly on the go. And you listen to the news and there's always problems. We've got mudslides in Washington, missing airplanes, earthquakes in Chile. And it seems in our own lives, there's just always one thing to address after another. But if I were to ask you, do you have peace, how would you respond? Take a moment to think about that. Are you at peace? Do you know what is peace? And do you even know how to have peace? The Bible talks about perfect peace. Do you think there's even really such a thing? Yeah, it may seem so in heaven, but how about here on earth? Can you imagine abiding in peace day after day? So today we're going to talk about how to do just that. And there will be three key questions that we answer. That is, what is peace and what does the Bible have to say about it? The second is, well, what is the pathway to peace? So we're going to look into Scripture and kind of like the Romans Road to Heaven, where we follow Scripture that tells how to become saved. We're going to follow Scripture that tells how to have peace here on earth. And thirdly, we're going to talk about how we actually can have this perfect peace. So let's start with what is peace. If I were to ask you what peace means to you, you might say something like, well, it's quiet, it's lack of fear, lack of anxiety, rest, happiness, health, wealth, lack of stress, good relationships, time alone, time outdoors, like maybe sitting in a tree stand deer hunting. But perhaps the best definition I found was that peace means to bind together things that are disjointed. Now, peace is also a greeting. The Jews use the word peace as a greeting. When they greet each other, they say shalom. In Judges chapter 6, verse 22 to 24, it says, and when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. One of the Jewish names for God is Jehovah Shalom, which means God is peace. The Lord is peace. It's also a blessing. The Jews use peace in a blessing found in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 26. And it goes like this. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And Jesus also used peace as a valediction. Remember the woman who had the issue of blood and touched Jesus' robe? In Mark 5, verse 34, he said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. And then you remember the woman who had the box of alabaster and she used it to anoint his feet with ointment? Jesus told her in Luke 7, verse 50, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. And here's something that's familiar to us. It's also a name for Jesus, Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 to 7 states, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So Prince of Peace means Jesus Christ is our peace. He's the epitome of real peace. He's what peace is all about. And did you catch what Isaiah said about forever? That means that there's no end to Jesus' peace. And do you remember what we said earlier about peace means to bind together things that are disjointed? Well, that's exactly what Christ has done. The Bible tells us that sin has separated us from God. And as a result, Jesus ended the conflict between God and man by his death on the cross. And he has also given us internal peace by the love that is planted in our hearts by his Spirit. So here's a few more familiar verses in Luke chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And one of the things I like to do when I read scripture is put myself in the moment. Imagine you're amongst the crowd when the angel came and said that. Peace and goodwill toward men. At the time, Rome was in charge of everything, and it was not a peaceful time for folks. They must have been really perplexed to have heard that from the angel. But the angel was referring to a peace among men and a peace that each of us can have individually. So now we're going to talk about how to have peace. And of course, the Holy Bible is our basis of truth and our foundation. So the pathway to peace is found there. For fun, I wanted to share with you an acronym for the Holy Bible. HOLYBIBLE. Herein only lives your basic instructions before leaving Earth. Okay, so the Bible tells us that the prerequisite of peace is a personal relationship with Jesus. We said earlier that peace means to bind together things that are disjointed. You ever feel like your life is disjointed? Or do you have a sense of feeling complete and fulfilled? In Colossians 3, verse 15, Paul said, to let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Do you have peace of God in your heart? Romans 5, verse 1 states, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The moment we surrender, God is willing to forgive us, and we acknowledge that we are separated from God by our sin. You cannot pay the debt of your sin. Jesus paid it on the cross. Peace with God happens only when we accept Jesus as our Savior. And this word justified means we're no longer guilty because of Jesus. So let me ask you, are you focused on your problems or the problem solver? God says in Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4, He will keep us in perfect peace if we keep our focus on Him. Listen to this. Thou would keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Perfect peace. Imagine that. It seems like most things in life are not perfect, but the Bible teaches that the things of God are perfect. Therefore, remember, the next time you have a problem, focus on the problem solver. I want to share a personal story. For those of you who know us, you know that Marie and I have no human children. Instead, we share our maternal and paternal instincts with a menagerie of animals in our home. We have 2 dogs, a rabbit, 6 cockatiels, and 5 fish. And there's also an abundance of wildlife in our property that we have adopted. Well, in December last year, we had a sorrowful family event, and we lost our beloved Chihuahua Buddy. Who was just 1 week short of his 15th birthday. I got Buddy when I lived in Philadelphia. He was in the classified ads of the Saturday newspaper. And nowadays, I don't know if you know this, but you don't have to just go to the classified ads. There's all these websites with profiles and pictures of dogs. It's amazing what's happened in 15 years. But I saw him in the newspaper, and I didn't have a car at the time, so I took a bus out to the suburbs to go pick up little Buddy. And then I smuggled him aboard on the bus in my coat pocket on the way home. Now, I already had another Chihuahua at home, 3 years older, and they quickly became friends. And now that I think back about it, it must have been pretty funny to see me walking down the street with 2 little Chihuahuas. But, you know, Buddy was a great source of comfort for me, especially during my divorce. And he was a faithful companion, always by my side. When I relocated to New Jersey for work, both of the Chihuahuas just loved going out with me on hiking adventures. And then we met Maria. They fell in love with her, as did I. And we've really enjoyed our time together since our move to Hunterdon County 10 years ago. So Buddy was small, but yet he had a big personality. And we used to tease him that he had a big heart. And eventually, that's actually what we found out. He was diagnosed 3 years ago with congestive heart failure, and the vet said we should expect to have him last no more than 2 years. So we started trying to prepare ourselves for that, but that's hard. And he developed fluid on his lungs, and his heart enlarged to 2 times the size of what it should have been, as the heart muscle lost its firmness due to his disease. He was on a regimen of 4 different pharmaceuticals. But nevertheless, Buddy lived a happy and vibrant life. Then in early December last year, Buddy's condition took a strong turn for the worse, and after a week, he began to really suffer, and we had to make the painful decision to euthanize him. I would often hold Buddy in the cradle of my arm, and it seemed to give him comfort, and he trusted me as I held him like that. And that's how I held him when the doctor gave him the lethal injection. And likewise, I like to think that that's how God is in our time of need. We can trust him to be with us through our trials while he holds us in the cradle of his arm. Marie and I certainly needed peace during this time of grief. It was tough for us. So what I wanted to do this morning was to share with you the pathway to peace that we discovered and followed according to the Holy Bible as to how to get through this very difficult situation for us. So another acronym for you, Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. The pathway to peace is through Jesus. And we're going to follow this acronym to make it easier for you to remember when you leave here. The J is for just ask. E is expect it. S is for say it. U is for utilize it. And S again is for spread it. So just ask. That means pray for it. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7 states, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Paul said, "Do not be anxious, because we have the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding." It is the awareness of the presence of an omniscient God who lives his life in us and through us. Matthew 7, verse 7 to 8 states, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." But we must keep in mind that God answers prayer at an appointed time. So being patient is a way to demonstrate our trust in him and to him. That's what Marie and I tried to do with the loss of little Buddy. We prayed about it. Many of you prayed about it. We mourned, and we mourned together. It was incredibly painful. For days, it was the first thing I thought of when I awoke. And then eventually, it became the second thing. Then, as the Spirit of God led us, we began searching for another dog. Our desire was to get another male Chihuahua, but the Lord led us to a female Chihuahua puppy. So we were flexible, and we met Bella, who has brought laughter back into our home. And here's a picture of our answered prayer. Okay, the second step to peace is to expect it. Enlarge your vision. Now here's something we can really grasp onto. For everyone, including non-believers, God himself gives our lives intrinsic value. We are created by him in his image. We're all unique, but serve him serve the same purpose, which is to glorify him. For those of you who already have a personal relationship with Jesus, you must realize that you're a child of the Most High God. He wants all that is best for you. And God wants us to live life to the fullest. I want that, don't you? Philippians 4:13 states, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." So we should keep an attitude of faith. You can live with confident expectation, not because of who you are, but because of whose you are. Your attitude should be something like, "Lord, I know you're just one day closer to working this out for me." And a good way to help you have that attitude to enlarge your vision and see your problem situation is to look at things from a higher level. And I found that Psalm 1 helps us to get that perspective. And it states this: "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his light doth, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." These are God's promises, folks. "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." So fix your mind upon the ultimate destination, his promises, and our glorious reign forever. Don't get caught up in the stresses of our everyday lives. Focus on the things that really matter. This is how you get perspective to overcome. And when we get overshadowed by the circumstances of our lives, we must remember the promises of God. They're like granite, said Pastor Bob in Bible study recently. And let me just segue there for a moment. If you are not attending the Wednesday night Bible study that we have here, you are really missing out. And I would encourage you to try to find a way to make yourself available 7:30 at nights every Wednesday. This church, Amwell, is blessed with a pastor that loves the Word, loves to share the Word, loves to teach it, loves to make it clear, loves to give us opportunity to ask him questions during Bible study. And there's a nice sized group that is very faithful week after week, and we just share with one another and learn with one another, and it's an amazing thing. So I would challenge you to take 3 Wednesdays in a row, come join us, and find out for yourself. Your life can be changed forever. Let's get back to the sermon. When you're faced with adversity, remember that you're filled with God's can-do power. Remember what Scripture tells us: I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Say to yourself, I can have victory. I can have peace. I'm an American, not an Americant. So the next step to peace is to say it, which means to proclaim it. Luke 12, verses 2 to 3 states, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." So speak gratitude to God. For example, I thank God for the many years we had with little buddy, for his good life, and for living beyond the 2 years that the doctors had sentenced him with. Speak the promises of God in faith. Words are like seeds, and you reap what you sow. And therefore, positive words will lead to fruitful growth. And while we're just talking about words for a moment, I wanted to share something the Lord recently placed on my heart. Have you noticed how frequently, and should I say loosely, we use words like awesome or adorable? Well, nowadays, perhaps you've used them. I have. And recently, the Lord convicted me of that. And he said, you know, James, is that really awesome? Or is that a word that is more appropriately reserved for me? So I don't know about you, but I'm trying to be humbled by that and reserve that words such as that in relation only to Jesus. Okay, our fourth step to peace is to utilize it. And I put cheese and crackers here to remind you of an interesting story I wanted to share about a naive traveler who was aboard a cruise ship. So this gentleman was going across the ocean. He had saved up his money for several days until he had enough money for the ticket for the cruise. And before the cruise, he packed his bag with his clothes and a lot of cheese and crackers for food on the cruise. So he gets aboard the cruise, they take off, and first day comes, second day comes, and he sees all the people gathering in the beautiful banquet halls and the ornate buffets that are laid out before them, and some food he hadn't even seen before. But yet he was over in the corner eating his cheese and crackers all alone while all the other passengers were enjoying the wonderful food. So one of the other passengers saw this, and he comes over and says, "Sir, Why don't you come join us in the banquet hall? Why are you sitting here eating cheese and crackers? I noticed you yesterday. Come join us. And the naive passenger said with an embarrassed look on his face, well, I'm sorry, but you know, it took a long time to save up the money for this trip. And well, I spent all the money that I had just to get the ticket. And I don't have money for all this fancy food that you guys are enjoying. And the gentleman gave him a big smile and he says, don't you realize it's already been paid for in the ticket price? Come and join us and take advantage of this. And so I think that's the way it is with Jesus. He's already paid the price for our peace. And it would be a shame not to take advantage of this precious treasure in our everyday lives. 1 John 2, verses 1 to 2 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So the last step to peace is to spread it, and by that we mean encourage others. In Hebrews 3, verse 13, it says, but exhort one another daily. Find peace by encouraging one another. You have more confidence when someone you respect believes in you and encourages you, don't you? There's healing in your touch. At Amwell, as you saw, we have a culture of holding hands in prayer and of hugging one another as a greeting. These acts provide encouragement to one another. You can also encourage one another in prayer. Use the prayer request list. And when people come to your mind, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Stop what you're doing and just say a prayer for them. You can even call or send a card. This is a card that I received from a dear sister from our congregation. She sent it on behalf of the church family here for a discouraging situation that I'm going through at work. Sometimes, though, we might find that we need to get ourselves in the right frame of mind in order to be an encouragement to others, because we're discouraged. You remember when David and his men, this is before he became king, they were out patrolling. And when they returned, they found that the enemy had carried away their families. Well, David and his men were extremely dejected by that. They were crying, the Bible says. And in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. And that's what I found with my situation at work. I was so discouraged that I wasn't able to help others through the situation. And when I realized that, I began to talk to God about it. And then this card came in the mail. And I was sure that that was from him. And I carry it in my briefcase every day to work. And before I start the day, I pull it out and I read it to remind myself that God is with me and he loves me. And he's going to hold me in the crook of his arm while I go through this situation. And then guess what? I'm able to get out in my normal manner and encourage others. So it comes down really to a decision. And that is, what will you choose? The world's peace or Jesus' peace? The night before he was crucified, Jesus told his disciples in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. His peace is lasting. It's unchanging. It's eternal. It's personal. It's sustainable. And it has eternal stability. Jesus is the source of true, genuine peace. The world's peace is empty. It's based on what you can do and what you have and who you are and wealth and popularity and position. It's based on things that really have no eternal value, no foundation. But Scripture tells us in Isaiah 57, verse 21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And wicked here refers to the unsaved. So remember what we learned last week from Pastor Bob in worship service? He said that the only prayer God hears from the unsaved is their prayer of their profession of faith. Not the way with believers. He hears our every prayer. You cannot escape trials, even as a Christian, so you must decide how you will live. His peace is himself. When we have Christ Jesus in our hearts, we have the Son of God. We have every promise, all the strength, and everything we can possibly need. But there's a distinct difference between the world's peace and the believer's peace. The world's peace is based on things we can touch and feel, but our peace is based upon a relationship, a personal relationship to one person, and that's Jesus Christ. Until someone has a personal relationship with Christ Jesus, they will not have true peace. So when you hit hard times, do you have the ability, even the privilege, to rely on the sustaining peace of Christ Jesus to see you through it? When you don't have Christ, how do you face the death of a beloved family member, a friend, or even a pet? What about daily peace? We have the privilege of walking every day in the awareness of the peace of God. Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." You can be safe all day long. He will show you what to do, how to do it, and where to go. And if you don't have Jesus, what do you have? You really have only what you can do. How much power and knowledge do you have versus him? Your power doesn't even measure on the Richter scale. So the choice is obvious. Choose Jesus. Romans 14:7 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." And lastly, this perfect peace includes knowing where your spirit will reside after leaving this earth. The Bible says the only way to the Father in heaven is through Jesus. Do you have perfect peace in knowing heaven will be your ultimate destination? So in summary, I want you to know you can have peace in every day and in every situation. You can even have perfect peace. Hebrews 4:14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession." So hold fast to Jesus, my friends. Let the Lord rule your heart. Keep your focus on him. Follow the pathway to peace, Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. Just ask, expect it, say it, utilize it, and spread it. And may you go at peace and abide in perfect peace. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.